took center stage to host the socially distanced event. HERS's I Can't Breathe was named Best Song of the Year. She also won Best R&B Song for Better Than I Imagined. After performing their new single, Leave the Door Open, Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak paid tribute to Little Richard, who passed away last May, with a medley of the late singer's hits. That was Oh, What a Night! All those articles came from the March 29, 2021 issue of Us Weekly. That concludes today's readings from Us Weekly. This has been Lydia Coppell for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
Friday on the Noon Book Hour, we begin Larry McMurtry's first novel, Horsemen Pass By, published in 1962. In this stunning literary debut, Horsemen Pass By exhibits the full-blooded Western genius that would come to define McMurtry's incomparable sensibility. In the dusty North Texas town of Thalia, young Lonnie Bannon quietly endures the pangs of maturity as a persistent rivalry between his grandfather and step-uncle, Hud, festers, and a deadly disease spreads among their cattle like wildfire. Horsemen Pass By, written by Texas author Larry McMurtry, starting Friday at noon and Saturday at 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 48 and clear. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night a few showers with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, March 27. Virtual Texas Energy Day celebrates state's energy industry. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. Texas Energy Day at the state capitol, held when the Texas legislature is in session, typically draws thousands showing support for the state's energy industry. This year, thousands, along with 50 industry alliance partners and sponsors, again met, but virtually this time amid the pandemic. Texas Energy Day still attracted top state officials, from Governor Greg Abbott to Speaker of the Texas House Dave Phelan, Railroad Commissioner Wayne Christian, State Senator Jane Nelson, and Commissioner Emily Lindley of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Each spoke with Todd Staples, President of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. Governor Abbott, quote, "The most important thing we as a state can do is work collaboratively with you so you can build back from the pandemic, but also build a pathway going forward," the governor said, citing the industry's important role in job creation and economic growth. He called for new strategies that would allow the industry to have a robust future over the next 2 to 4 decades. He noted new challenges coming from the new administration in Washington, D.C. During a visit in January to CUD Energy Services in Midland, Odessa, he signed an executive order requiring state agencies to report any federal actions that could negatively impact the energy industry. Quote, "I was with the workers themselves," he told Staples. I felt it was important to be close to and get information from the men and women whose jobs are on the line, whose paychecks depend on the industry. It was because of those men and women that I issued that executive order to ensure we'll protect those jobs." End quote. The governor noted technical advancements led by the industry that have reduced emissions, the equivalent of removing 88 million vehicles from Texas roads. He sees the exporting Texas natural gas in the form of liquefied natural gas as an opportunity to export emissions reductions to other nations as they transition from burning coal to natural gas. India, for example, has increased the amount of LNG it imports, and Osaka and Japan are also big importers of LNG, and conversations are being held with European countries. Quote, "We're at the start of a long runway that will lead to LNG being shipped from Texas LNG exporting facilities to ports around the world. That will not only boost the economy of Texas, but equally important, power the transformation of other countries, weaning them from coal to natural gas from the Lone Star State. It's a win-win for the state and other countries." End quote. Wayne Christian. The railroad commissioner said he believes the agency's discussion last spring of prorating Texas oil and gas production in response to the pandemic-fueled oil market collapse helped spur the industry's recovery. As economies around the globe shuttered and oil demand sank, the agency was asked to cap production in order to limit supplies and support the industry. Ultimately, the commission decided against implementing pro-rationing, but Christian said he believes the discussion brought certainty back to the market and helped it turn the corner. Quote, "I always claimed the price went from $32 to over $60 today because we put certainty back in the market. It turned the corner at that time." The commission worked together with industry and brought certainty, and the market reacted. End quote. Christian expressed concerns about actions taken by the new administration, from canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, which he said will force operators to ship oil sands on more costly ships and trains, to pausing oil and gas leasing on federal lands. Besides the challenges from the new administration, he listed challenges from investors who are shunning the industry because of flaring or because of environmental concerns, and the focus on developing wind and solar power over oil and gas. Quote, "How do we convince the public and get the message out that we're planning for the future?" he asked. "Right now, there are zero nuclear facilities planned for the U.S. There are zero coal facilities planned for the future. There is a small amount of gas facilities planned. All future electric generation plans are for wind and solar facilities. Again, we're putting most of our tax dollars into undependable extra-cost energy sources." End quote. Daniel Juergen. Juergen, vice chairman of IHS Market and author of The New Map, about how the shale revolution not only impacted U.S. energy, but global geopolitics, said the revolution has reached its next phase, the relationship between companies and investors. The change in focus from investing in drilling more wells and growing production to capital discipline and returning cash to investors alters how the industry operates, he said. Producing reliable returns and a focus on the environment, social causes, and governance will bring investors back to the industry, he predicted. He was asked by Staples how the revolution is being influenced by demand, especially from countries like India and China. Quote, "There's a lot of debate on what happens with oil demand," Juergen replied, saying there is some thought oil demand will peak in 2030. Still, he said, The real growth in demand is from emerging nations, and oil and natural gas supplies will be critically important to them. The fact the U.S. is able to export to those emerging nations is also critically important. The Prime Minister of India, for example, said at IHS Markit's recent CERA Week event that the energy relationship between India and the U.S. is the foundation of improved relations between the two countries. Staples noted that Jurgen has also discussed energy transition and how it seems to mean eliminating oil and gas. Energy transition means a transition to lower carbon fuels, said Jurgen, something he said the Biden administration will promote. Carbon capture was a dominant topic at CERA Week and will play an important part, he added. And while wind and solar are growing in nations like China and India, quote, demand for oil and gas will grow as well. The conclusion is we will have an energy mix. Natural gas has a role to play, and oil as well, end quote. New gas lift compressor also captures methane emissions. The story was written by Mella McEwen. A search for a faster way to install a compressor has resulted in not only an easier-to-install compressor, but one that eliminates fugitive methane emissions. Quote, we have a compressor company, Flat Rock Compression, David Stone, account manager with Flat Rock and Lift Rock Integrated Lift Systems, told a reporter Telegram by telephone. One of Flat Rock's customers was too busy to install a compressor system, he recounted. Since that is one of the company's selling points, he said the company agreed to install the compressor. Flat Rock president B.J. Ellis tried to think of a way to do the work quicker, Stone continued. They developed the skid-mounted quickset by Lift Rock, which requires only a limited number of piping connections at the well site, reducing installation time, safety risks, and the need for specialized oversight. The goal, Stone continued, was to develop a gas lift system that was quicker to install, not to address ESG, environment, social, and governance, or transparency. But when a valve or compressor leak disrupts service, a majority of the methane is vented into the atmosphere, not captured, he said. Because there was so little gas at the well site, quote, we didn't want to lose the gas. So we developed a way to recycle the gas on the skid to keep the compressor in operation. The system eliminates the need to vent or flare that gas by eliminating the need for atmospheric storage tanks and their associated fugitive emissions and capturing 100% of the fugitive methane emissions instead. After designing the system, the company put a prototype in the field in December 2019 with the consent of the customer, quote, and just watched it for 4 or 5 months to see how it worked. We didn't go to any other customers. We watched to see if it operated as we envisioned, end quote. Once they determined the system met their goals, he said they marketed it to their operators as a way to get production online more quickly and efficiently. Stone said he found that rather than getting the compression system operational more quickly, customers are more drawn to its environmental benefits. The system also improves the runtime and throughput efficiency of the gas lift facility by eliminating gas lift compressor scrubber liquid level shutdown events and associated requirements for methanol injection. Stone added, those liquids scrubbed by the compressor are now captured and sent to a pressurized vessel that doesn't allow venting. These skid-mounted systems are factory-assembled, which Stone says improves quality control and increases the speed of installation. Lift Rock monitors the systems 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so, quote, we'll know before the operators if they have a valve leaking. We'll know within minutes if a compressor is not running at optimal levels, end quote. In addition to the environmental benefits, the company estimates the system can reduce lease operating expenses from its first day, in many cases offering savings in the high six figures over a typical three-year lease. Stone said it also improves the overall operations of the compressor. Currently, the company has 23 of the Kwikset compression systems operating at 19 sites in the Midland Basin. Stone said the company is prepared to ramp up production of the systems to meet any increase in demand. Quote, "We look forward to that challenge," he said. Dallas Fed finds strong expansion in energy sector activity. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Participants in the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas's quarterly energy survey had a brighter outlook in the first quarter of 2021 compared to previous quarters. The Dallas Fed found activity in the oil and gas sector expanded strongly in the first quarter, with the business activity index climbing from 18.5 in the fourth quarter of 2020 to 53.6 in the first quarter of 2021. Still, quote, "Don't confuse that with the actual level of activity," cautioned Kunal Patel, business economist at the bank. "Activity is expanding from a low base," he added. "The U.S. rig count is still down 49% compared to the start of 2020, for example, and the Permian Basin rig count is down 47% in the same time frame," he pointed out. Still, signaling a return to expansion, quote, "is not much of a surprise given oil was at $64 during the survey period," he added. There was even better news for the service sector, which reported gains across the board. Quote, "Service companies have had so many quarters of challenging elements," Patel said. "This is the first time in many quarters we've seen improvements in all elements, margins, prices received, decreases in input costs, equipment utilization," end quote. The survey also saw employment turn positive, with more respondents reporting increased employment than job cuts for the first time in 2 years. That was led by the service sector and was driven not just by employment, but employee hours and the aggregate wages and benefits index. In response to a question about break-even prices that is asked during the first quarter, respondents bumped up their break-even price to drill a new well to $52 from last year's average of $49. The Midland Basin remained the lowest cost producing basin at $46, with the Delaware coming in at $49 and other shale basins at $58. Most respondents expect oil prices to be between $56 and $62, compared to an average of $49.77 in the fourth quarter of 2020. Henry Hub prices are largely expected to be between $2.50 and $3 per MCF. Patel noted that while comments were largely optimistic and uncertainty had plunged, respondents remained cautious. That caution is illustrated by a majority, 58%, saying they are concerned increased federal regulations would make their business unprofitable. Patel noted that comments on the topic indicated increased regulations and constraints on oil and gas activity on federal lands could increase the price of oil. Quote, "There's less pessimism, but still challenges," Patel concluded. "We'll have to see what happens in future quarters," end quote. Key takeaways from this quarter's survey: the oil production index rose from 1.0 in the fourth quarter to 16.3 in the first quarter. Likewise, the natural gas production index turned positive and increased 18 points to 15.9. 6 month outlooks improved notably, with the index rising from 21.6 last quarter to 70.6 an all-time high and a sign of improving optimism among executives. 71% of support services executives expect the selling price of their firm's primary service or product to slightly increase from December 2020 to December 2021. Slightly over half, 53%, of executives expect their headcount to remain unchanged from December 2020 to December 2021, while 39% expect an increase.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, March 28, 2021. Evidence of a Turn Mounts by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Quote from the Washington Post, mortgage rates hit 9-month high. Quote, 6 weeks of increases have put the 30-year fixed rate mortgage at its highest level in 9 months, 3.17%. End quote. This column has been warning of turn in the 39-year bull market in bond prices, lower rates for weeks. This past week brought more evidence this is the correct analysis, and the stock market is beginning to notice as well. Interest rates fell from the 12 to 14% level of 1981 to less than 1% in May 2020. The 30-year bond yield is now 2.356%, tripling its yield since then. This is confirmed by the huge rise in commodity prices. Copper is up from 2.9 cents last October to 4 cents per pound today. Lumber has doubled from $450 per 1,000 board feet to $900. Crude oil has also near doubled in price, but is on borrowed time. Price lifted from $35 last October to $65, but now less than $60 at $58.56. A week ago, it was announced that world demand for gasoline had peaked given COVID-restricted travel and the move to electric vehicles. With summer driving season, or what will amount to that, upon us, 87 octane is near $3. A bull market in stocks is marked by an expansion of new highs. More money lifts prices of more stocks. That indicator collapsed this past week. 2 weeks ago, the NYSE new highs reached 700 plus. This past week, it fell to 146. Conversely, the number of new lows exploded from 20 to 200 plus in the same period. This phenomenon is known as a broadening top. The latecomers, a surge in first-time speculators opening new accounts, are buying from those who purchased at last March low at DJIA 18,000. And none of this should be surprising. Congress passed a Trojan horse COVID bill of $1.9 trillion, which was really a bailout for poorly managed municipal pensions, all in Democrat-controlled states and cities. Now another $3 trillion stimulus is being planned. Like Barack's non-shovel-ready bailout, this will likely be a payoff to unions and poorly run Democratic cities like Chicago, Baltimore, and New York City. The plan is straight out of the Hugo Chavez playbook. Simply raise taxes on the ultra-rich and the hated corporations. Believing the tax will not affect them, who in the lower income levels would object? But the parable of killing the golden goose is applicable. Long-term studies of federal revenue reveal that no matter what tax rules are passed, the take is never more than about 18% of GDP. The wealthy can and will move, and adjust income streams. They are migrating from California and New York, high-tax states. The same will happen with so-called soak the rich plans. Wake up, Bernie. Congress targeted oil companies believed to make excess profits in the early 1980s. The result was not more revenue, but an exodus from North American production. In Andrews at that time, both Exxon and Amoco abandoned their large modern buildings and employees. It simply made the real estate crash of 1987-86 just that much worse. We have seen this before. It does not end well. The Economist, a year later, by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group, and who serves as a distinguished professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. It's now been a year since COVID-19 began to upend the lives of people around the world. The human cost has been tragic, and measures needed to slow the spread of the virus have also taken a toll on mental health and well-being. From an economic perspective, the pandemic has caused substantial and, in many cases, catastrophic losses. Millions of individuals have faced unemployment or reduced hours. Between February and April 2020, the total number of people working in Texas dropped by nearly 1.5 million, more than 10%. Initial unemployment claims went from averaging about 13,500 per week to closer to 300,000, topping out at nearly 315,200 in early April. Businesses dealt with closures, capacity limits, and additional expenses for cleaning or necessary modifications to enable safe operations. Supply chains were disrupted, causing yet more losses. That's the bad news. Now for the better, not quite all the way to good, but at least better news. Some industries have struggled to survive, particularly those hit hardest by lockdowns and bans, but the worst seems to be behind us. Airlines, hotels, and other travel businesses have recently begun to see some increased revenues. Restaurants and bars are now operating at more normal levels, though there is still far to go, and pandemic risks remain. Of particular note to the Texas economy, activity in the energy sector is beginning to be restored. The combination of an increase in supply and the pandemic-related sharp decline in demand caused oil prices to plunge, drilling and other activity along with it. Texas rig counts are in the 200 range, almost double where we were last summer, and current prices support additional activity. Some 878,600 Texas jobs have been regained as of the most recent data, January. While that's still about 574,000 below the prior peak, it's a notable improvement. Initial unemployment claims are now generally under 50,000 per week, several times higher than we'd like to see, but well below the spring and summer of last year. Vaccination supplies are picking up, and Texas is among the first large states to open up immunizations to all adults. March 29th. How best to treat the virus is better understood, and therapeutics are increasingly available. We aren't out of the woods yet, particularly as new variants emerge, but at least we can see the clearing ahead. Looking back over this year of pandemic is painful. Loss of life and health, loss of financial security, loss of interaction with loved ones, and so many other losses have dominated our world. At the same time, There is hope that normalcy can return in the foreseeable future, and with it, a more robust economic expansion. Until then, stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, March 28, 2021, Life and Times. Blood Donation Needs at an All-Time High by Levi Stone, RN-MSN. The negative impacts of the seemingly endless COVID pandemic continue to rear its ugly head. Among them has been a disruption in blood donations that were previously supplemented by various blood drives. With social distancing being a first-line defense against the virus, this essentially shut down blood donation centers from operating in their normal capacities. Inversely, however, this depletion of resources also coincides with the busiest times blood and blood products are needed to treat patients.